Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful honor this is. You know, I have been to these functions previously, and I recall when others that I worked with throughout the years, Mary Louise Smith, Senator Elaine Simoniak, and Ambassador Mary Kramer, I only wished that I would be able to meet that bar. And I am so honored to be standing here this afternoon. Thank you, Mary. I'd like to extend congratulations to the other honorees, and I'm so pleased to be able to stand on the stage with these outstanding women. 24 years, a quarter of a century. It hit me about a year ago as to the length of time that I had served on the Des Moines City Council. And it was not until a year ago that another woman, Linda Westergaard, joined me. Thank you, Linda. Can you believe it took 22 years to get another woman on the Des Moines City Capitol, on the Des Moines City Council, the capital of the state of Iowa? There were a number of times it became a little lonely, but there were advantages. For example, when the press needed additional information, they always contacted me. And finally, after this had gone on for a while, I said, "Why are you always contacting me?" I'd get home from a council meeting and the phone would be ringing, wanting information. They said they felt more comfortable and that they knew I would always be prepared. As I thought back over the last 24 years, there are a number of lessons learned. I know at my very first meeting, I thought I had done all of my homework. I had thought I was going to make everybody happy, but that was probably the biggest experience in learning quickly that I had not made everybody happy. This has probably been one of the biggest issues you deal with as an elected official. You do your homework, you visit the projects and/or the sites, you take input from impacted citizens, and you make a decision that in your heart you feel is the right decision for the city. But it's not easy. I found over the years, the quicker the decision, the better off you are. As I look at public service, the city and metro area is so blessed to have so many citizens that are willing to give of their time, talents, and financial support. Example, our boards and commissions, which are 100% volunteers, do incredible work for the city. Whether it's plan and zoning, parks and recreation, transportation, or human rights, they have all been extremely impactful in our community. Neighborhood associations have grown tremendously during my tenure on the City Council. When I was first elected, there were just a few neighborhood associations. Fast forward to today, and there are 50 recognized neighborhood associations with very few areas of the city that are not represented by a neighborhood association. They provide input, bringing forward issues, projects. They are our eyes and ears. Issues, when they are needed in the neighborhood, they're going to bring them forward and assist us as elected officials in making decisions that will be a positive impact on that neighborhood. Over my 24 years of service, there are a number of highlights which I feel I've truly changed the direction of the city and the metro region. And let me emphasize here that none of these would have happened if it were not for the public-private partnerships that have been a part of all of these different projects. Let me just highlight a couple of them because there are two projects that are really near and dear to me. The Grays Lake Project. And you know what's fun is there's always a story behind the story. I'm going to share the story behind the story, starting with David Cridenier. We all remember the flood of 93 and the horrible disaster that was for the city and the condition that it left the Holiday Inn South down at Grays Lake. And it stood as a shell for way too long. I just was sworn into office and remember receiving a call from David Cridenier indicating we had to deal with this. He gave us a proposal, thinking that we needed to have a trail around Grays Lake, and he attached a $1 million contribution to that with a condition that we have the building demolished by the end of the year. I felt, not a problem. We can get this done. But that was the beginning of a truly amazing project in our city. But remember back to 1993 and 94, Grays Lake was crime and drug infested. And as we began to develop a master plan, people thought we were crazy. who in their right mind would go to Gray's Lake. The master plan was completed. We then began to implement that plan. I am here to tell you that all of the money that was raised privately. Very, very little public money went into that project. You have 1 million people that annually use Gray's Lake today. And it was because of another individual by the name of John R. Grubb. And John R., David, and I spent every Friday afternoon, the summer of 95 and 96, taking potential donors out in the boat, the pontoon on Gray's Lake, with the understanding that we would bring it back when they made their commitment. It worked very well. Moving on to John and Mary Papajohn, another behind-the-scenes project. Thank you. Gateway West. We completed Gateway West, and it was a $16 million project. And to be perfectly honest, I think we were all a little bit disappointed as to what happened at Gateway West at that point. But to really completely do what we had planned, it would be another $8 million. Well, John and Mary Papajohn were not excited about what we had done. They felt it lacked a little as well. And John made the call to me saying, we would like to donate all of our art sculpture to the city of Des Moines and the Art Center for Gateway West. Lo and behold, we have now $60 million worth of public art that is available to everybody. And it has regularly over 500,000 people that are going through the sculpture park. And one last statement I would make is Nomad. Nomad has been such a tremendous success for the sculpture park. And the story behind Nomad was John, being the entrepreneur he was, felt that we, the city, were not working fast enough. And he felt that he needed to demonstrate to our community that there was going to be sculpture in the sculpture park. So he and Mary, on a November day, were in Florida and purchased the Nomad and called me when I was on a business trip with my husband and said, Chris, I've got a wonderful purchase, and I'd like you to help me get it set up. And I said, what is this? Not being an artist, I wasn't sure what Nomad was. He said, well, it's a wonderful piece, and I think it will really capture everybody's attention in the city of Des Moines. The kicker is it's on a truck and it's on its way up to the city, and you have to have a location for it within the week. I said, John, you know we don't work that quick. But to everybody's credit, we actually had Nomad. It arrived within about 10 days. We had a location outside the Central Library downtown, and it was such a delight because we actually had it all put together with lights shining in front of the Central Library the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so it was quite an accomplishment. Downtown housing, we have gone from 6,000 to 14,000 units downtown. We have another 3,000 units that will be up and available in the next 18 months. Overall economic development and corresponding tax revenue for the city of Des Moines, starting with Gateway West. When we first tore down the buildings in Gateway West, it had an assessed value of $35 million. It's now well north of $500 million and climbing. We have 40 huge projects in the pipeline for downtown, still continuing to move forward. Nationally, we have become a model for downtown renaissance throughout the country. The first year I was on the city council, I remember when we brought representatives from all of the smaller community, or not smaller, but the Kansas Cities, the Chicagos, and Minneapolis, for them to share with us how they had been able to make positive change in their downtown. Today, we are the go-to city where we have contact from communities all over the country wanting to come to the city of Des Moines and look at, talk with us, and figure out how have we done it. When I was first elected, we were lucky if we were ever mentioned on any national recognition list. Today, we get recognitions regularly. We've been voted in the top 10 for the strongest economy, most affordable place to live, best place for millennials to live, best place for children, most affordable place to buy your first home. We average probably 15 or more top 10 national recognitions on an annual basis. As I finish my 24th year, this December 31st, we'll always remember I will always remember the impact that you can have by first learning the importance of respectfully disagreeing with your fellow council members, but remembering you will need to work with them on future projects and/or issues. You will need their help and their support. And the other item that I feel is really important is the city of Des Moines has been so proactive and able to escape so many of the problems we see in other major urban areas around the country. We are so blessed because of all of the team and stakeholders coming together. In concluding, there's a very special thank you I'd like to make publicly, and this is to my family. Those of us in elective office always understand that we're out on the front line. We don't necessarily feel it the same way as family members do, but sometimes it gets to be a little tough, and I just want to acknowledge publicly my husband, my daughter, her son-in-law, or sorry, Keith, her husband. I have a lot of family members here, so I really, really appreciate that support. Lastly, when I ran, there was one item I wanted to accomplish, and that was when I finished, I wanted to be able to state that I made a difference, and I hope I have. Thank you so very much for this very special honor.